I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Gary Bannerman died on Monday, the 11th of July, 2011. The broadcaster, journalist, and author is being remembered as an iconic radio host. That he was. From 1972 to 1988, he was the premier talk show host on radio station CKNW, going head-to-head with the legendary Jack Webster. He bested Webster in the ratings and raised the bar for talk shows in this town and this province. He held politicians to account, reported on big stories in British Columbia and around the world, and not to mention was an advocate for the consumer. He negotiated a hostage-taking and covered the 1973 Middle East War. He left CKNW in 1988 amid some acrimonious contract negotiations and some personal health issues. He sat on the BC Ferries board for a time and, with his wife Patricia, established Bannerline Corporate Communications, a consulting firm that kept him busy. His Wikipedia entry states that his consulting and writing work kept him so busy, his media appearances were restricted to rare guest appearances. He appeared on this program twice. He was a welcome guest and a gracious, generous friend of the program. We exchanged emails from time to time, and up to this past April, we were planning another interview. Alas, we never got to it. I regret very much and never following up and having him on again, and I feel bad that I never got to tell him how much I appreciated his support early in the life of this program, for the kind words he had for my work and the lessons he imparted both conspicuously and simply in the way he comported himself. I never met Gary Bannerman, and I never really heard Gary's shows because I was only 4 when he left CKNW in 1988. But if one availed themselves of history, picked up a book, say, it wasn't difficult to see how much of a giant he was in broadcasting and how prodigiously talented he was. And later, in the conversations on the telephone, the emails, and the sort, I got to know him best as a person who was generous and kind. On the program now, I've called on some of Gary Bannerman's friends and colleagues who joined me to remember him, acknowledge what we've lost and what his impact was on his business and our province. First is Gary's longtime producer and friend, the legendary radio producer Shirley Stalker. I'll also talk to an old friend of Bannerman's, former Premier Bill Vanderzam, a former colleague and competitor, Rafe Mayer, and the political commentator Alex Sakumas, who has on his website a very fine tribute to Gary. And throughout this program today, I'll play a couple of cuts from Gary Bannerman's appearances on this show. When I sketched out the list of people I wanted to talk to about Gary Bannerman, one name was at the top of the list. I'm delighted she's on the line now. Shirley Stalker was Gary Bannerman's producer at CKNW. She was the executive producer for many of the great talk shows on the station. She is currently the executive director of the CKNW Orphans Fund and will retire from that position shortly. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Shirley Stalker. Good morning, Ms. Stalker.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Had Gary been sick for a long time?
No. Gary took sick around in January, and we knew there was a problem with his liver, and he'd been sort of with the medical profession off and on, but he really only took sick where he needed serious medical care as of the 1st of June.
Yeah. Now, he started at NW in 1972. Were you there from the start?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I started in 74. I think he started in 72.
Yeah. As a broadcaster, just how good was he? I mean, did you know that right off the bat?
it's very interesting because as a broadcaster, I came from CBC.
Right.
And when I was called by Hal Davis, who was also an icon in the industry, to see if I would be interested in working with CKNW, because CBC had been my alma mater, I said I'm not interested in working with CKNW because I don't like the style of radio, and I certainly don't like Mr. Bannerman. And they said, well, you know, his bite is worse than his bite, and perhaps you would like to just come and meet him. So we met, and I liked him immediately, and he liked me immediately, and then we started working. I was working with him as an investigative reporter because that's what Gary loved doing, and he did investigative reporting better than anybody that I knew, and so he needed someone to work with him in that field, and so we were the investigators for a number of years.
And he cared about, I guess, people, and he cared about issues in the community, right?
Oh, no question about it. You know, we didn't have what they called a consumer affairs ministry at the time. And so, you know, Gary said, I'd really like you to take on all the consumerism issues. And so he and I did that with great vigor for a number of years and really became known as, you know, consumer advocates. And nothing sort of went by us that Gary wouldn't say, that's not right, let's get on to that. And then we had people that would, they felt that they weren't treated well, and they would get in touch with Gary and myself, and we'd investigate them. But more than that sort of thing, the fun part of the show was all the incredible, fabulous people that came through our studios that Gary interviewed so aptly. You know, he never asked a stupid question, and people would be so admired by what he would do. When he wanted me to find William Colby for him. And so we did, and William came on the show, and the two of them hit it off amazingly well. He was the former head of
the
U.S. CIA.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bob Hope was in studio one day, Henry Mancini, Nana Mouskouri. The number of performers that would come to our show made the investigative reporting and the political reporting and then the entertainment reporting a really wonderful rounded package for the kind of programming that we were trying to do.
One of the things we don't get a sense of nowadays is how big people like Bannerman and Webster were at the time. I mean, the whole city listened, didn't they?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, we were number one. We had a belief that, and Webster was, when he went into competition with us, Bannerman would say to me, if we're number one, then we're not going to take the guests after some other radio stations. So we're number one, we're going to stay number one, we'll take the guest first, and if the guest wants to go somewhere else first, then they're not for us. So we maintained that number one attitude. It was pretty cocky, but we did. And we succeeded being number one for many, many years.
Did you guys think at the time that you guys were changing, I guess, radio broadcasting in this part of the world?
Well, yeah, there was that whole, you know, the whole thing about FM radio was going to take over, and then when the internet, of course, and computers came in, you know, we sound like we were way back in the early days, but we used typewriters that, you know, we didn't use computers. We didn't have the research abilities that producers and hosts have now. We knew there was change coming, and we rolled with it. Gary was one of the first ones to get a computer and learn to use the computer. And I know it really sounds, you know, dinosaural, but that's the way it was.
I never met Gary, but he'd come on this show a couple of times over the years. And he was always gracious and always kind and just a lovely guy. He was like that to friends like yourself, right?
He was an icon in the industry from a professional perspective.
Right.
I admired him right up there with Webster and H.R. Morrow and, you know, all of the ones that had been interesting journalists and exciting journalists. And I admired him from that perspective, and his intellectual ability to get me thinking and keep me on an intellectual level and stimulated that way was fabulous. And he did that with everyone. On a personal level, he was a very dear, dear friend. When I got married, he gave me away. So you can tell that it was a personal relationship as well. He used to call me his work wife. He had his true wife, which was Patricia, whom he loved dearly, and they just worked together as an amazing couple. And he would call me his work wife, and you know, the three of us got along amazingly well that way.
Thanks for this, Shirley. I appreciate your time today.
You're welcome.
The 28th Premier of the province of British Columbia, Bill VanderZam, is currently getting British Columbians to mark yes on their HST ballots, but he takes a break from the referendum campaign to remember Gary Bannerman. Bill VanderZam, good morning.
Good morning.
As a politician, as Premier, you appeared on the Bannerman Show. Was he a tough interviewer?
You know, it started back in the mid-60s when I was very involved in Surrey politics. And Gary had me in for that, and from it, we developed a regular programming for Garden Talk. So we talked gardening. We became very good friends, and he was a very fair interviewer. But he knew the questions to ask and did so well. He was a popular talk show host.
And you guys became friends soon after?
We celebrated our birthdays together, and we certainly enjoyed going out from time to time. We shared a lot of good stories, and we were good friends.
He'd only been on this program, I guess, a couple of times. I've never actually met Gary, but he'd come on the show. He was always kind, very generous with his time, and just a lovely guy. And I'm getting the sense, talking to Shirley Stalker and talking to you now, that he was like that to close friends.
Yeah, he was a considerate fellow, very considerate, and very, as you say, patient with people. I know that I introduced him to a couple of people that needed help in marketing a new product, and I was so impressed and so surprised that he would spend as much time as he did with someone that had a relatively new, untried product. But he didn't mind. He just did that as, I think that was his nature. He just wanted to help and be involved.
And was he ill for a long time?
No, you know what? I didn't realize. I know that he was ill previously. He had a problem, but it went away, I thought, and I didn't realize just how ill he was until I heard it very recently. So he hadn't been ill for very long, no.
Yeah. What will you miss most about Gary Bannerman?
I guess what we'll miss most is whenever he traveled, he sent us a little message from wherever he was at, and we kept in touch, but more than anything, we enjoyed each other's company, both with Lillian and Patricia, from time to time at some nice eating places, and that was always something to look forward to, and I'm going to miss it much.
Well, what do you think he means to British Columbia? I mean, what is it about people who come here, like yourself, that you come to this place, and then you become so much a part of the province? I mean, I suspect that in the years that he was on the air on CKNW, he represented BC to a lot of people, not only in the province, but to people outside the province.
Yeah, you can never take Nova Scotia out of a Nova Scotian, but he certainly adapted very nicely to BC, and he became a great British Columbian. So I guess it's the beauty of our city and the Lower Mainland in general, or the province for that matter, that keeps us excited about the place.
And on the referendum campaign, how's that going?
Referendum campaign is going great, except, of course, we ran out of money a long time ago, and the government seems to have very deep pockets. They can keep spending, and similarly so the Big Business Alliance, but I can understand where it is they're coming from. It means many billions to them forevermore should the tax come into place, so or should it remain in place. So we have a difficult fight, but it's very challenging, and I enjoy that.
Bill, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Joe.
Before we get to Rafe Mayer, a clip from an interview I did with Gary Bannerman from April 2005. I asked him if he missed broadcasting and what he thought of his two successors, Rafe Mayer and Bill Good.
Well, I have a good regard for both of them. I've had lunch with Rafe a couple of times in the last few months, and it's fun listening to him. He's tremendously entertaining, and Rafe, of course, is the real McCoy when you talk about a passionate, open line host. Bill is a different ball of wax entirely. I mean, Bill is a quality anchorman, presenter in the British sense, very, very reputable host, a good guy. You know, and then you could look at Philip Till, who's a world-class newsman with a tremendous pedigree behind him. And, you know, there's a number of people. There's a lot of talent on talk radio. But the problem is not the hosts. The problem is the ownership of media today. It's run by accountants and systems. It's got everything to do with shareholder value, with sticking five radio stations under one roof, with pretending to be different, pretending to care about the community, when in fact the owners are rarely sure of what community it is that they're broadcasting in. There's no support. None of these open line shows have proper reporting. You never pick up the newspaper and get the sense that these radio shows are setting the agenda for British Columbia debate anymore. Rafe does it to some extent, but the fact is that for many, many years, between Jack Webster and I, we had 80% of the sets in use.
That's amazing.
And a very, very big part organized the programs, promoted the programs, provided the reporting backup they needed to do the sort of research to bring the news in front of the public and to create an extended family of 2,000 or 3,000 contacts who were indirectly part of the program, each of whom could be phoned on a moment's notice to give the real story behind any issue. None of the shows do that anymore. They're basically just placid forums for the host and the guests and the callers to express their opinions. And in that sense, I don't think they make as much of a contribution as we used to be able to do.
And is that what turns you off from going back into broadcasting?
Well, yeah, you know, that for years I used to get all sorts of interesting offers in the run of a year. I don't get the offers anymore because I'm so totally out of the loop. But each time I've had the offers, I guess they've all been told no so often. Each time I've come back and said that if, in fact, we could put the right kind of a team and business plan together around the program to relate to a modern market and get back to what talk radio once was, I'd be thrilled to be part of it, and I wouldn't be very demanding in terms of my own personal benefits. You know, I would really want to invest the energy in creating the product. But nobody wants to do that. I mean, good heavens, the executives that you talk to at any radio station these days aren't sure they're going to be around in 3 months. In fact, they aren't even sure who's going to own the radio station in 3 months. There's been so much change. There may well be investment in shares and in hardware and technology and radio licenses, but there's absolutely no investment going on into how to best serve the community.
When Rafe Mayer was a Socred cabinet minister, he'd appear on the Bannerman radio program as a guest. Soon after, he was in competition with him, then became a colleague at CKNW, and later in 1988, Mr. Mayer succeeded him in the morning time slot. Rafe Mayer joins me from his home in Lions Bay. Rafe, good morning.
Morning, Joe.
Your thoughts on Gary Bannerman. What have we lost here?
Oh, we've lost a man of great stature. There's no question about that, Joe. He was really part of the golden years in talk radio, the years of Jack Webster and Pat Burns and Al Murphy and Barry Clark, and the list is a long one. And he was probably the last one, unless you count my time thereafter as being the last part.
Yeah.
Gary was one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life. He had an unbelievable memory for facts, and I don't mean just trivial facts, real facts. And he was brave. He said what he thought, and we'll miss him very much. He was a great servant of the public.
As a politician, he was a tough interviewer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. You know, and I laugh at this because I remember the first time I went on his show. I was Minister of Consumer and Corporate Affairs, I think, and Gary interviewed me for about half an hour, and then there were a lot of calls. He extended it for an hour, and I looked up at the clock, and it was about 5 to the hour, and I thought, oh, thank God, I'm out of here. And all of a sudden, I see Shirley Stalker come in. And Shirley says, oh, Gary, here's a question for the minister, and just lays a zinger on me. I don't know what the hell it was, but something I was just flapping my jaw. And, of course, it turned out that I had a hell of a time answering it, but it was good fun. I mean, you knew that here was a guy that wasn't going to let any cabinet minister get out of his sight unscathed.
Now, part of the reason you got the show in 88, the morning show, was that because he'd had some personal problems, Gary did. In recent years, he licked those, right?
As far as I know. You know, one of the things about being in the radio business, you don't get to know your colleagues as well as everybody supposes you do. And the reason in this case, of course, it was when I was on the air, he wasn't. When he was on the air, I wasn't. But I did get to know him a little bit better when he started to do relief work for me in the early 90s. And he's a fine guy.
I had him on, I guess the first time I had him on, I asked him about what he thought about talk radio, and it's one of the clips that will be on this show. And he had high regard for your work. He said he loved listening to you because you were. He called you the real McCoy when it came to being a passionate open-line host. You got to know him as well afterwards? Because he also talked about you guys having lunch from time to time.
Oh, yes, we did. And yeah. We did get to know each other much better afterwards. And that's the time you would with any of your colleagues. I'm very flattered that Gary would say the things he did. But, you know, I'll tell you very quickly what Jack Webster said to me when I was about to go on the air, and he was responsible for it. And he said, man, the three things to remember, you dumb bugger. First of all, if you're interviewing your mother, write Mom on the piece of paper because you'll forget her name. Number two, don't try to be like Burns and be yourself. Number three, from now on, we're enemies. And that essentially said it all. I never blamed Jack for that at all. That was very wise. Stomp on the fingers of the guy below you. And after Jack left, we did an awful lot of work together, thanks to him. But that was that's sort of the attitude in the business. So you don't really have a chance to get somebody else, get to know somebody else very well. Your rivals, you don't much like them simply because they're doing something that you want to do yourself. And so when Gary left and I took his show, and we would meet afterwards, it was a great experience. We had dinner a couple of times, and certainly had lunches, and got involved in a number of activities that interested both of us. And as I say, he was a first-rate guy, and we're going to miss him.
Another clip on this show that I found in our interviews that I did with Gary, in the interviews I did with Gary, he talks about the state of talk radio. And I asked Shirley Stalker about this, that we don't get a sense of how big Gary was. Gary told me once that between him and Webster at the height of their, I guess, their radio programs, they had 80% of the audience. That's unheard of today.
Oh, it certainly is. And I'm not sure that Shirley is accurate on that, I must say offhand. I frankly find it very hard to believe that. But there's no question that he and Webster had a huge impact in the times that they were on at the same time. And that was the problem, and that's why I have a little trouble with Shirley's numbers, because I suppose they could be both at the same time. In any event, there's no doubt about it that he was a big player, along with Jack and others. And Gary was a person that people listened to because he was so good at being what he was.
And things are well with you, Rafe?
Things are very well with me. I'm very busy. I still do just a teeny bit of radio on CBC, but I'm writing a lot, and I'm very much involved in an environmental movement called the Common Sense Canadian. A young document maker, Damon Gillis, and I founded this a couple of years ago, and we're just as busy as you can be, going around the province speaking and so on, and that's sort of taken it on as my object for the rest of my life.
Rafe, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for this.
My pleasure, Joe.
Rafe Mayer, his website is at rafeonline.com, also the Common Sense Canadian. Alex Akumas is a political commentator and the new host of the Money and Wealth television program. On his blog, he posted a marvelous remembrance of Gary Bannerman. AlexGSakumas.com is the website. Alex, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's a wonderful piece on your website, remembering Gary.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. For those listening who haven't gone to your site yet, what will you miss about Gary Bannerman?
Well, he was so forthright and such a decent guy. He really was one of the last greats in local radio history. He was someone who cared about the story. He cared about the people in the story, and you know, when he was dealing with politicians and particularly those in government, he believed in, as my friend Rafe always says, the old saw about, you know, afflicting the comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. He would hold politicians' feet to the fire until they were crispy in nature, and he never wavered from that time-honored tradition of going after someone he felt was fibbing to the public, or being more accurately economical with the truth. Gary was someone who came from very humble beginnings, he graduated from Moncton High School and then went off to Canada's officer training plan and what we refer to as, or what was referred to as ROTP, and went to the Collège Militaire Royal de Saint-Jean and near Montreal, which is now no longer around, and eventually he landed at the University of New Brunswick. But you know, he had a hard life. He had a bad car accident in Maine in 67, and he was hospitalized and he had a tough time to complete the university. He had all sorts of tough goes at it early on in his life, but you know, when he ended up with the St. John Telegraph Journal and started, you know, his career started to expand, he was an amazing intellect. He understood way earlier than most in journalism that the public's right to know is paramount. It's before your contract, it's before the advertisers, it's before anything. You know, nowadays in radio, they've got it backwards. It's the advertiser that almost dictates the programming. In the old days, it was the programming that you know, was so good that people fell all over themselves to advertise. They didn't have to agree with it. And Gary got that. It didn't matter whether he was, you know, with the Telegraph Journal or the Globe and Mail or the Toronto Star or Maclean's that he worked for eventually. It didn't matter what he was doing. It was paramount to him. And, you know, this is why he was such a great broadcaster and why after Jack Webster left NW in 72, during, you know, what can only be described as a fairly acrimonious contract dispute, Gary was their next big star. I believe the programming director back then was Hal Davis, and he pulled Gary in, I think, and you know, the rest is history. The guy, yeah. The guy was just unbelievable. It didn't matter who he was interviewing. It was just it was an amazing run of all sorts of people. You know, Bob Hope, Cleo Lane, Yehudi Menuhin, mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali, famous lawyer, San Francisco lawyer Melvin Belli, Moshe Dayan, the Prince of Saudi Arabia. It didn't matter who it was. Gary made them seem so comfortable, and the interview was easy. It was really a conversation. It was only really with politicians that he felt were being untruthful to him that he got at all ornery, for lack of a better word. But he was just an amazing guy. He was one of my and will remain one of my broadcasting heroes. And I think we're all the richer for having had Gary Bannerman touch our lives.
And beyond the broadcasting, I mean, that's clear that he was a great broadcaster. I never met him, but you know, I talked to him on the phone a few times, emailed him back and forth over the last 6-7 years. He was just the nicest guy that I'd ever met.
Mm-hmm.
He was a class act, wasn't he?
Yeah, first class. You know, his, you know, well-known struggle with alcohol notwithstanding. Even then, you know, some people are. They drink too much and they turn into just tyrants. Well, Gary was never like that. It was it was more a self-loathing. I think he had gone through so many painful periods in his life that I think the alcohol masked that a little bit. And in those days, you know, being a reporter was having a drink in one hand and a cigarette in the other, so that wasn't too difficult to do in the positions that he held. But of course, Webster and Pat Burns and others, being of the same vintage, did similarly. But Gary was just a super nice guy. I can't say we sat down more than maybe a half dozen times, but there was one extended lunch once at Chardonnay's which no longer exists down on Hastings and Howe, or was that? I think it might have been Pender, but I'm pretty sure it was along Howe there, it was a boozy, entertaining lunch, and it was an experience just to sit across from him. He was intelligent and entertaining, and had this dry sense of humor that would come out from time to time, and he was hysterical. It was fun. It was fun. I mean, well, of course, we have a mutual friend in Bill Vanderzam, someone I worked awfully hard to try and help when he was premier, and I think Gary put it best when he said, you know, there are a lot of things, he said to me once, he says, there are a lot of things that some people find incompatible about Bill. He said, I like all of those things. He said he's brutally honest. He's committed to the people of the province, and he doesn't care about what his critics are saying. In those days, I suppose those could have been seen as pros. Today, they're seen as significant cons. Gary once said to me, and this speaks to his personal kindness. He said, I hope you never go into politics. And I said, why is that? And he said, because you're just too nice a boy. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, one day, and hopefully, he says, long after I'm gone, he said, I think you'll see the day of the politician who doesn't really care and who's just there for himself or herself. Now, you put that, you juxtaposition those words against the backdrop of the political career of a Gordon Campbell or a Christy Clark, and you'll see that prophetic statement by Bannerman came true well before his passing. So, yeah, the things that he said and the way that he said them and the time that he took with people who really he had no obligation to spoke to the inherent goodness of the man. He was an extraordinary individual.
Alex, again, a wonderful tribute on your site. Thanks for this.
My pleasure.
Alex talked of Gary's view on politics. Gary was on this program twice during the last two provincial election campaigns. Here's a cut from an interview I did with Gary in April 2009. Has BC politics changed much in the nearly 40 years that you've been on this side of the world?
I think it's changed a lot. I think it's a lot less lively. Arguably, it's more systematically managed, the government of the day, and less chaotic. But I don't think it's necessarily better. I think that we are less dynamic a society. There is rather the presumption today that government is a manager rather than a developer of the province, In real truth, we're still virgin territory. There's a tremendous amount of development opportunity for the future. We should still have more of the pioneering spirit, in my view.
That was Gary Bannerman on this program, April 2009. I want to thank my guests, Shirley Stalker, Bill Vanderzam, Rafe Mayer, and Alex Akumas, for coming on to share their thoughts on Gary Bannerman. I never met Gary, but I'm joining many, many people mourning not only a great broadcasting talent, but a kind man who was generous and gracious to me over the years. I can only hope that this program serves as an adequate thank you for the many kindnesses. Gary Bannerman was not only a matchless broadcaster and journalist, he was also a class act. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.